Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic
hits. So, Lily, getting back to assisted suicide.
It's a very delicate situation, Niall. I don't know whether to agree or disagree, but I think every human being has a right to discuss with their family or whoever is going to help them. If people want to end their lives, they should be allowed.
Well, they can. You can legally, I mean, not that I would suggest anybody do it, but you can legally end your life. There's nobody legally stopping you from ending your life. But the assisted suicide is in a case where somebody wants to do it, I suppose, a bit more peacefully and respectfully with the advice of a doctor and with the help of a doctor. I suppose, like you would do, I don't want to compare human beings to dogs, but like you would do with a dog when they're old and unwell.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, Niall.
Mm.
You're allowed to do it in Scotland. You're allowed to do it in Australia, I think.
You wouldn't be allowed to do it in Scotland now. But no, yeah. In Europe, it's Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, Germany, Spain. I think Australia did have it, but I don't believe they do anymore. I think they got rid of it. Anyway, Switzerland as well, as you know.
Yeah.
Dignitas in Switzerland.
Yes. But at the end of the day, Niall, I don't want to come across as disagreeing, but okay, if the person is terminally ill, if it were me, if I was terminally ill, I would definitely ask one of my family. But the only thing about that is, Niall, that okay, for at the moment and at the present moment when somebody wishes to be assisted in their death, that's okay. But maybe long after they're gone, the person who assisted them might suffer a bit of trauma or they
guilt.
Might suffer.
Yeah.
So it's a very delicate situation, but okay, if a person is ill, terminally ill, and they're on medication and they're asking and they're in their full sound mind and they're asking somebody, a member of the family, it's a very hard thing to be asking a member of the family or someone who's dear and near to you. But that person this month is also looking at this person who's not going to get better. Now, I might be completely wrong, but if that was me, Niall, and if I knew I wasn't going to get better, I would rather be assisted to die.
Well, stay there for a second, because let me just go to Malachy as well, if I can. Malachy, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Stay there, Lily. Malachy, sorry about
that. Good evening, Niall.
Good evening. Sorry about losing you there earlier.
I was saying that was the longest intro you had to any programme, I think.
I do apologise, Billy Malachy and Lily. I do.
Just to touch on a couple of the things that you did. You know, obviously I want to send my condolences to Christy Dignam, and I posted a picture of my wife and Christy there when he was in our village about 2 years ago.
Mm.
Just posted that on Twitter and, you know, condolences to his family and all of that. And, you know, in relation to Donald Trump, I look forward to President Trump emerging as the President of the United States next year. And I think there's no doubt about that. You know?
Well, I think it'll be him or Ron DeSantis. It certainly won't be Joe Biden.
Well, I think what he should do, you know, tactically, is to say to Ron DeSantis, the two of us will run together, President and Vice President. And I think that will be... And interestingly, I spent some time in the U.S. there in the past couple of weeks, as you know. And anybody I met who was of Irish origin is disgusted at the way this country is turning out. And they were all Trump or DeSantis supporters. And, you know, what we get from the media here, that Ireland is basically democratic and supports, you know, the Democratic Party, is nonsense. The vast bulk of Irish Americans support the Republican Party and Trump and now DeSantis, you know, in varying degrees. And that's something that, you know...
Yeah, you may not agree with everything they say, but if you're conservative of them, I'm sure you would be pitting for them. Okay, and the final thing you wanted to get to was the hate speech, I imagine, just before we move on to this topic.
Oh, yeah, we'll just touch on that. I mean, we've discussed this before, and, you know, the reason for this hate speech legislation is coming in is to shut down people like me and to shut down your programmes and to shut down any people discussing and arguing against government policy. And that is what they're afraid of. But they have lost that argument now. Ordinary people now, and we see it in the Sunday business post up the Red Sea poll last week. Now, up till last week, we were told that Red Sea was the greatest opinion pollers of all time, and they always got it right. But yet, when they say that 75% of people oppose current government's immigration policy, we're told they're somehow loopers. And, you know, we reflect Middle Ireland. We reflect what Irish ordinary people are thinking but are afraid to say. And what the hate speech legislation, along with the anti-protest legislation that's coming in, is designed to do is to stop ordinary people, not alone expressing a view, but even thinking a view that is contrary to the woke liberal agenda. And that's a very dangerous place to be.
Well, mind you, I've heard some of the woke, as you call them, the left side of the argument. They also disagree with this legislation. Many of them, so
for different reasons.
Well, for different reasons.
I've listened to some of those on TV programs, and they demand us to know why, when they were stopped, that and there was a particular Garda reaction, for instance, to water protests. That why were people who are protesting against immigration policy not being beaten off the streets effectively? You know, but you know, I looked at and I seen a picture from a well-known shopping centre in Dublin. An area that you would know well yourself, where they had all of these pride flags paraded along. And that reminded me of 1940s Germany, when they had the Nazi...
I know you have an issue, but I don't have any issue with it. If they want to have a pride month and have a pride month, I don't have an issue, as long as... I did have an issue with, say, for example, President Biden had a pride party in the White House lawn yesterday, and there was, you know, members of the transgender community running around topless. We're heading off in millions of directions. Let's just go back to the topic.
Where he had the pride flag in the centre of the White House, and the constitutional position in the US is that the Stars and Stripes should be the predominant flag, and that clearly wasn't the case.
Okay, well, that's not what bothered me. What bothered me is I believe it was wrong and disrespectful to the White House, which is the President's House of America, the leader of the free world. And you have, there was a number of transgender people topless running around the lawn of the White House. But anyway, that's a whole other argument. It's just disrespectful. Anyway, Maliki, getting back to the topic at hand. We're talking about euthanasia or assisted suicide. Lily said, why not? Why would you leave somebody in pain to die?
Well, again, you touched on one of the reasons why we shouldn't. When we look at the abortion legislation, when we were told it would be for a few cases, for the odd case, for where people are going to be badly deformed and all of that, and we'll have the time and the delay periods. And,
the cooling off period,
so many weeks. And we see that now, within 4 years, they're immediately, as we predicted, would be trying to change that. But you see, what we're trying to do in this society, or what the woke liberals are trying to do, is to remove anybody who is a hindrance to the progress of the state, anybody who's not a consumer. So we remove children before birth who are not worth, in their parents' eyes, life, or who don't have the life quality that doesn't necessitate medical care. And now we're saying to our own people...
That's a decided referendum already. There's no point in arguing about that.
What we're saying to our old people now is, you've contributed to this society. We were going to put you into a nursing home. We're actually going to empty them out now for...
I did see the minister suggest they could put us out.
And now we're going to put you down.
Maliki, now you're being flippant, right? That's not the case at all. When it comes to assisted dying or assisted suicide or euthanasia, whatever word you want to use for it, it has to be done by a person of conscious and sound mind. You're not going to have... Hang on. You're not going to have Johnny deciding that my mother's too old, I think I'll have her put down.
Johnny, the woke liberal.
That's never going to happen, Maliki. Let's have a fair and reasonable argument. It was never and never is, and even in the countries where it's legal, there is no legal perspective or no legal or no laws that prevail that allow you to choose for somebody else to kill them. That's murder.
Again, I come back to abortion.
Maliki.
We were told all of those things. We were told it would be limited. We were told.
So what? You think that Johnny will go to the doctor with his 84-year-old mother and say, "Listen, doctor, you know what I mean? She's a bit of an inconvenience. Is there any chance you can give us a couple of those pills for her?"
In Johnny's case, whether Mammy has a few bob, because this won't. There will be two aspects to this. The state won't want to look after people who don't have the means to look after themselves, and Johnny, as you say, will be saying, Well, Jesus, I could get a few bob from the inheritance now if I bump off the mother. And that's what you're talking about.
Ah, would you stop? Lily, are you listening to this? Actually, but Lily's gone. She's gave up hope. Let me go to Billy. Stay there for a second. Billy, how are you doing?
Niall, how are you doing?
Yeah, oh, sorry, Lily just gave up hope there. I'll go back to Lily in a second, but Billy, go ahead. I mean, you've heard Malachy says, you know, the sky is going to essentially fall in.
I did. I just want to put some balance on that whole Trump thing as well, Niall. Personally, I can't wait to see the man who's charged with 37 felonies end up in jail. I think, you know, what
do you
he's
mean?
There
Biden, is it?
No, no. Well, I hope if Hunter Biden is found to have broken the law as well, he ends up in jail.
Have you been watching the news over the last 2 days with the Biden tapes? It seems that Joe is involved there as well.
If Joe was involved, he deserves to end up in jail. But Trump is accused of breaking more laws than Richard Nixon did. So he claims he's an innocent man. He claims he is, but he was, the FBI have found that in his ballroom classified documentation, and they've already proven that you can't declassify just because you say you can on the way out.
It's up to barrister to decide. We will speak to Michael Walsh about 10 o'clock in relation to that.
I look forward to listening to it.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that.
What, the classified documents?
Nobody cares about whether you have confidential documents or...
Now, Malachy, hang on. With the greatest respect, you know, I can be a bit of a Trump fan by times, but in the real world, people do care if somebody has classified documents. Now, don't get me wrong. If a barrister can prove that they can be declassified by a president before they leave, well then, well and good.
When it's life and death in the real world, in things like what's going on in Ukraine at the moment, when there's national defense and national security at risk, it is the real world, and it does matter.
It's a bit hypocritical for people in this country to be complaining about somebody having confidential government documents in their house when the Taoiseach of this country at the time leaked confidential government documents to his buddies. In order to give
free. That is the biggest case of whataboutery that I've heard.
Okay, lads, we're gone off on a tangent again. Let's let Michael Walsh, who was offered the job, by the way, as Donald Trump's personal advisor going back some time ago, and has written many books, by the way, in relation to the White House. He'll be on at 10 o'clock, and we'll talk to Michael about it then. Look, mind you, he is a little bit biased, Billy, because he is a Trumper.
But he is honest, in fairness.
For the sake
of balance, you should get someone else on who is maybe not.
We have done that too. We have had other people on. But in fairness to Michael, the last time he was on, he didn't have a huge amount of sympathy for Donald Trump. So saying that, you know, he does sometimes, you know, he knows where the grass is grown. Okay, getting back to euthanasia. Sorry, Billy.
On this, Niall, I was talking to a buddy about it before, and if I got to that age, and if I had a terminal illness, I would want the option in front of me. But I do see where Malachy is coming from, and you know, can see how this could be very, very easily abused. And given the way things have gone with other legislation that's been brought in, I'd be very, very hesitant to vote this in unless there was a very, very precise article put into the Constitution that assisted dying would only be allowable in cases of terminal illness, where the person was going to die of that terminal illness within the next 6 months or something along those lines.
Mm.
I think otherwise it's far too open to abuse and change. And, you know, people before profit have shown that they are more than willing to liberalize legislation around life and death matters. And I think that's just, you know,
do they want
wrong
to kill before birth on drugs while you're alive and then kill you off before you're in youth? You know, before you're
fine. But Malachy, I wonder, would you see the point in if someone was going to die of a terminal illness within 6 months, having the option for assisted suicide?
You see, that's not where this legislation would go.
That's where we can possibly influence it to go, Malachy.
Yeah.
You know,
in that position, you know, where I had X amount, and I knew, and I had all my affairs in order, you know, and I wanted to end my own life. That's a matter for me, right? And
it's not always a matter for you. It depends on what's wrong with you,
the situation
you're in.
Well, what you see, what this legislation is looking for to do is to say that somebody else can make that decision for you.
No, it's not. That's not in the legislation.
Is that the private members' bill that People Before Profit and Gene O'Kelly put forward, or where is that?
Yeah. That, Malachy, that's not in the legislation. There is nowhere in the legislation that suggests that somebody else can decide for you.
But Niall, Malachy, there hasn't been any legislation.
The legislation is that.
No, the possible legislation. There was a private members' bill by Gino Kenny. I remember we spoke to Gino about it.
Private members' bill. It's not legislation. It's suggested legislation. This has gone to committee with Michael Healy-Ray heading up the committee at the moment. But I thought the Gino Kelly bill has gone to a second stage for reading.
I listened to Michael Healy-Ray this morning actually talking about it. And
no, but this is a separate bill. I don't think it's because I think...
No, I don't think it's either. I think they're just discussing it. They said it will take 9 months, so they're just discussing it and debating it.
It's a committee in the Dáil that has been formed to discuss this, headed by Michael Healy-Ray, with TDs and senators. Yeah. But there is no bill. Well, there's the Gene O'Kelly bill, which is going to a second reading, but that won't make it past.
The Gene O'Kelly bill, there was numerous flaws in that bill, and everybody knows that. There was no time limit in it. There was loads of other stuff that there was problems with, and people and legal experts said it just couldn't be possible. So let's just forget about that for the moment. But Malachy, what's been done now is Michael Healy-Ray is heading up a committee to debate it, discuss it, and then decide if it's worth thinking about legislation and what way the legislation should be worded and who should be allowed do it. There is no suggestion whatsoever that somebody else can, you know, on your behalf decide that you should die. That's never going to happen. That's murder.
Niall, you say, I mean, I've discussed with you many occasions when in particular the abortion referendum, where you said these things wouldn't happen. And then they are.
Yeah, but not to that extreme. Because what you're doing is encroaching on another law. If you were my dad, and you were in a hospice somewhere, and you were in agony, and you were dying, but you didn't particularly want to die, and I decided with the doctor to collude in the background and said, listen, there's only got a couple of weeks left there, just pop him those two pills there, he'd be grand. That's murder.
Yeah, but you see...
And it always will be murder.
Yeah, but what you're saying is fair enough on one level, but what you want to do, Dan, is to say that society should say that's okay.
No, I want society to say that if Malachy is my dad and he's in his hospice and he's dying, that Malachy should be able to turn around to me and say, listen, can you call the doctor over? Let's have a discussion here. If he's still copus mentis, and say, you know, I would rather die with dignity. That's his decision.
Similar legislation was brought in New Zealand in the last couple of years that had very strict constitutional guides on it, that the person had to be, as I said, within 6 months with a terminal illness of dying, had to be compos mentis, could not have dementia, and had to be able to make the decision themselves without any external influence. So there is legislation
you can talk about New Zealand. You know, what we do know about Ireland is it doesn't matter how strict the regulations are and how strict all of the legislation around it is, that this is Ireland, people will do what they want, and
that's why we put it into the constitution. We don't do what happened with the 8th Amendment. We put it into the constitution as a constitutional amendment.
I mean, I think personally, and I think a lot of people would agree, the 8th Amendment was a huge mistake and a lesson learned.
Why?
And I'll tell you why it was a mistake. Right? Now, it wasn't a mistake that 67% of people voted in favour of. That's their choice. That's democracy, right? And I agree with democracy. I may not agree with their choice, but I agree with democracy. But what they should have done was replace the line in the constitution and not taken it out and put in legislation instead.
Well, I mean, there's an argument on that. But the effect of the 8th Amendment is that thousands of children are alive.
I know.
Wouldn't be alive.
Because of the 3-day cooling off period, yes. But
because of the 8th Amendment.
No, I'm talking about the 3-day cooling off period. They believe could have saved up between 2,000 and 4,000 children's lives. The mistake that we made, and all Billy is saying is, if we do it, that we would have to make sure it's constitutionally sound. We didn't do that with abortion.
We did.
We didn't. We removed it. We removed it from the constitution.
The 8th Amendment protected the right to life of the unborn. It wasn't till the woke liberals campaigned.
But you've made a mistake in that line, because the Supreme Court decided that the unborn didn't have a right to life. The unborn has no rights, according to the Supreme Court.
Yes, the Eighth Amendment was still there, and it protected the right to life of the unborn.
But Malachy, the Supreme Court making the decision that the unborn doesn't have a right to life opened up the debate.
I believe that was a wrong decision, right? No.
What led
to the removal of the Eighth Amendment was the whole campaign by the liberal left and the woke agenda and all of that political persuasion right through the universities from the time the Eighth Amendment came into being. The whole objective was to remove it in order to remove any protection to life of the unborn. And we're going to see the very same thing with the life of our older people. Why do we not say that our older people should be valued? Why do we not say that they should be given life with dignity? Why do we not say... No, we don't. Why do we not say that they should be given palliative care? What we're saying is that we want to bump them off at the earliest opportunity. Because
you said our older people should be treated with dignity. Does that dignity not expand or extend to the point where they should be able to decide, if terminally ill and in suffering, that they have a right to die in a dignified manner?
Well, hold on. Anybody has the right to die when they want. We have removed the criminal classification.
Absolutely. But you don't have the right to have somebody else assist you.
No. Maybe, Malachy, maybe a person doesn't want to go and take a load of pills and maybe, you know, end up in a worse situation than they're with. Maybe they want to go to a specialist doctor, talk to them and say, I have a terminal illness. I will die in 6 months. I want to decide when I die. I want you to help me, assist me in doing this in a medical sense.
Well, I mean, the first requirement of a doctor or the first thing that they sign up to is to protect life, not to take life.
People keep using that, the Hippocratic Oath. It hasn't been used in years, Malachy.
Of course it has, Niall. Where do you draw the line?
It hasn't. The Hippocratic Oath is gone, Malachy. Doctors don't take it when they're in the university anymore.
It's gone because they're prepared to kill unborn children. So it's gone. Right? But where do you draw the line?
You draw the line when you say that people who are not terminally ill, that this will not apply to them. You put a very distinct line there. You put it in for people who are terminally ill.
Well, stay there just for a second. Let me just go to John as well. John, how are you doing? You're on Ireland's Classics Radio.
Niall, how are you doing? Good to talk to you.
You too, John. Where do you stand on this assisted suicide, euthanasia, assisted dying? There's a lot of names, actually, really, but they all mean the same thing. Where do you stand?
They don't mean the same thing. I think the words that we use are very important in this discussion. I'm pro-choice, however, under very, very strict conditions and criteria. And I think suicide, I suppose, conjures up all kinds of images and harrowing stories for a lot of people. What we're talking about here is dying, assisted dying or dying with dignity. That's very, very important, the narrative and how we talk about it. And as I said to your researcher, Ireland is ready to have this discussion. And it's important that we have a responsible discussion, a reasonable discussion. And unfortunately, I'd agree with Malachy on a lot, but this evening, he's uninformed, completely uninformed. And the discussion we're having is about the committee that was established with public hearings taking place today.
Which will take about 9 months, by the way.
It will take 9 months, and that discussion is not about the bill. It's about the topic. It's about the subject of assisted dying. Bear in mind, these are our public representatives.
Actually, I made that point that it wasn't about
Malachy,
the bill.
Malachy, wait, please let him finish.
It's not about a bill, but it's our public representatives representing us, representing a conversation that needs to be had. Be under no illusions. This would not be happening if there wasn't a groundswell of opinion that wanted the discussion, not necessarily in agreement with it. Some are, some are not. I personally am. I've lost people through illness, through terminal illness. There was a time in my life that I was staring at something dramatically different. Thank God I won't say it's no longer the case, but it certainly I'm looking forward now and not over my shoulder. Actually, no, do you know what? It's not the case. So I've talked about this publicly in the past before. And for people like myself that had an illness that's living very successfully with one, it's about living and not dying. That it's not about wanting to to do anything other than live. And thankfully, I'm in a position now where I can look forward to the rest of my life knowing that life is good. But for fortunately or unfortunately, for a lot of people, they're not as fortunate. They're not as lucky as I am. And I've watched people suffer unnecessarily. And what we need to understand with this debate is, and this discussion, is it's about people at the latter stages of their lives. It's not about people, Malachy, as you were saying there, about if there's money involved or whatever, and just making a decision, you know what, I'm going to end it all. Absolutely not. That would be grossly irresponsible. And what happens in other jurisdictions has nothing to do with Ireland. We're a democracy. We make up our own minds. Yes, we learn from other jurisdictions and what we shouldn't do or possibly get advice on what is responsible and possible to do. But this is about the people of Ireland wanting a discussion. Ultimately, a referendum
hang on for a second, both of you for a second. From what I believe, there may not need to be a referendum on it.
I think there will be. I think in order for something of this magnitude to happen, I think it will be put to the people ultimately.
No, well, I don't think it will be because the political class here doesn't actually care what people think. But let me ask you a question. Why is it so incredible to ask that somebody's children and their extended family should look after them till their natural death? Why is that such an obscure and far-reaching thing? That's what we always done. Hold on. That's what we always done.
And you talk about, far-reaching.
You talk about whether people, you know, will get people bumped off because of money. This is always about money. Everything is about money.
That's all nice.
And people want to
is it not just when you say looking after somebody into their elder years, that somebody may want or may not want to live or in pain, maybe if they have a terminal illness and they could be 6 weeks away from dying anyway, they may not want to live in pain. So that's still looking after them, isn't it?
Hold on. No. People dump their old people.
Malachy, the language you use is quite flippant. That doesn't win a debate.
Before you contradict me, right? Dump their old their mothers and fathers into nursing homes because they couldn't be really arsed and bothered to look after them in their own homes.
Not everybody does that.
I find that absolutely... Malachy, that is not the reality, and that is an absolute...
Well, it is the reality.
It's not the reality,
you know,
Malachy. That's your belief, Malachy. But sometimes people will be put into a nursing home because maybe they need a hoist to get out of a bed. Maybe they're in a lot of pain and suffering.
All of those things
can
be provided in anybody's
Malachy,
home.
Come here now, Malachy. I've gone through...
Malachy, you're starting to sound like Mother Teresa now, to be honest with you.
I've seen this situation in close family, Malachy, where someone had to be put into a nursing home because they couldn't be cared for, because the people in
Okay, look, I don't want to go into that. Without a shadow of a doubt, Malachy, there are instances where some people are put into nursing homes because they're just purely an inconvenience to their families. But there are many instances, and I would say the majority, as Billy rightly pointed out, where people are safer and better off and get better care in a nursing home.
Well, then...
Sorry. Let John just finish what he was saying to you, Malachy, before we interrupted him. Sorry, John.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that...
The government doesn't take that attitude because the government has now extended the legislation where they said that nursing homes couldn't shut down and dump out the old people who are...
Well, they said they could, but it would take two... They have to do it in 2 years. It'll take 2 years.
More profitable refugees. You know, so... You know, the state can't have it both ways.
Okay, let John just finish what he was trying to say. Sorry, John, in relation to you where you were interrupted while you were talking about a referendum. Yep.
Yeah. Listen, ultimately, I think that's where it'll go. I think it'll be put to the
people. There'll be no referendum.
Malachy, please. Malachy.
Yeah, and I think we need to take cognizance of the fact that this whole debate, this whole discussion is about, if you like, to simplify it just for a moment, it's about the right to apply for something. That does not necessarily mean it will be granted. In order for to gain access to something like this, it would have to be approved by medical professionals. We're having the discussion about applying. Simply the want or the desire, the want by an individual.
Two doctors have to say you need an abortion. We know where that goes.
Now, we can go off on different tangents and talk about everything else other than what we're here to talk about.
I'm not going to agree with Malachy, but I can't help but notice it is a relevant part of the conversation because many people objected to abortion going back 5 years ago because they said, you know, what will happen is the laws will become more liberal. And already, only 5 years down the road, We're seeing political parties looking to extend the laws, get rid of the cooling off period. So people do have a right to say, well, if we allow this, this could happen. They do have a right to say that.
Absolutely. An important part of this discussion.
Yep. Go ahead.
Sorry, who's going ahead?
It's Malachy. I'll put him back up in a second. I'll put you back up in a second, Malachy. Go on. Important part of the discussion, John, yes.
Yeah, is to respect each other's points of view. If we're going to collectively move forward on this, which ultimately it's going to happen, I'm not saying it's going to be implemented, but the conversation is happening, and there's going to be a lot of differing opinions. But in order to progress as we all want it to do in some way, shape, or form, and that may be a rejection in its entirety of ultimately down the road, the conversation may come to a shuddering halt or not, as the case may be. But in order for us to get to a reasonable point down the line where we can make an informed decision, all of us, all sides bar none, we must have a respectful engagement.
That's a fair point. Malachy,
understand each other.
Well, Malachy, just quickly, before I go into the break, I'll let you say something.
Let me just deal with that point. There will be no respectful discussion about this. There will be no discussion. The whole NGO sector, the 33,000 NGOs in this country are paid $6.5 billion, are all on message for killing off our own people. So this will be just like abortion, it will be just like gay marriage. All of these things will be just rolled on as if people want them. And in fact, people will come along subsequently, as they are now doing with abortion, and saying, we were told there'd be a cooling off period. We were told it would be only for selective cases. And now we see it's open door. And we were told two doctors will need to sign off. And we know that the forms are there ready when you go in. You know, the establishment in this country and the political class cannot be trusted on any issue. And never mind the fate of our old people. And I can't see for the life of me, Niall, why our sons and daughters of our elderly people can't look after our own parents in their own home, whatever requirements that may take. And it's up to the state to provide those.
I have to say, people are saving the state a fortune by caring for their elderly people in their own homes, by the way. Can I just point out? I've got to go into a quick break. The number is 087-188-0008. Lad, you can wait there if you want to.
App Store. Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Got to say, it kind of reminds me of the abortion debate in a sense, because I'm looking here. I asked people to vote yes or no at the start of the show, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's kind of split down the middle, 50-50. Malachy and John, just stay with me for a second. And by the way, Malachy, although I know you don't agree with us, you're of a legal mind somewhat because you're a solicitor. And I'm trying to remember, was it Simon Coveney or at the time, going back about 5 or 6 years ago, or I can't remember who it was, said that a referendum wouldn't be necessary, that it could be decided in the Oireachtas or the Shannon. Am I correct in thinking that, or am I mistaken?
Yeah, I don't think it was Coveney, but I don't think, you see, it's not mentioned in the Constitution. Although the right to kill, or the right not to kill, is mentioned in the Constitution.
Of course, yeah.
So I'm sure it could possibly be within that. Well, I would argue that it's within that context. I'm sure they wouldn't. So I don't actually think there's a constitutional referendum required for it. It's just legislation.
Okay.
I think that's what the Supreme Court said.
But I do believe, well, not that I believe, I do agree with what John, who was on before the break there, said as well. I do believe that whether we need one or not, there should be a referendum, because it's a very important issue. But anyway, let me just go to another John. John and Malachy, stay with me. Let me go to another John. Sorry, John, go ahead.
Hi, Niall.
Go ahead, John.
Personally, I think the bill should be passed. It's a thing that it should also be expanded upon, not necessarily just for those in palliative care. There's a massive amount of individuals out there that are living day to day. Well, not living, existing day to day, dealing with chronic pain. And it isolates. It's a matter of when it comes to a time where you decide to check out, there's so many things could go wrong. Now, personally, I'm on a massive amount of tablets. I not only that, I get lidocaine, ketamine infusions, epidurals. It's constant. And
I'm sorry to hear that, John, by the way. I don't like to think of anybody in a lot of pain.
Look, shit happens. It's just one of those things. You just get on with it. But there will be a point in time where you go, this isn't working. And the one fear that I would have is the possibility of, if you were to make use of the tablets that you have, there's the possibility that it might not work and you could end up with locked-in syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be far worse than dealing with chronic pain, because at least at home, I have the tablets to take at every stage that I need to. And if it's a thing that it's all based on quality of life, there's a major difference between someone living and someone existing. And existing, it isn't a life. For instance, if I needed to drive to the city, I would take tablets before going in. Before leaving the city, I would take tablets to make sure I could get back out. And that could be just a half an hour of a drive in and a half an hour of a drive out. So you're constantly popping tablets.
And how can I ask a question, John? How did you end up in that situation? I mean, is it a disease, a degenerative disease? Or
no, I put it this way, Joe. If I told you, if I was trying to keep something concise, you might be familiar with my emails.
Oh, absolutely. I know who you are now, John. I do apologize. And thank you. Thank you for all your wonderful... I didn't realize it was the same John. Sorry. Thank you for all your wonderful emails, by the way. I really enjoy reading them.
No, that's no problem at all.
I don't get a chance to reply to every single one of them, but I do try and reply.
I'm only mentioning that so at least you know my backstory.
Yes, yes.
And it's a thing that I'm dealing with my situation for over 30 years. Now, there has to be a point in time when you realize that everything that you're popping, the side effects that's there. I've had in 2019 down to the meds. I've had in the space of 4 days, it was 5 heart attacks and one. I think it was either 4 or 5 heart attacks and one massive heart attack. And the massive heart attack happened when I was 10 minutes inside the door of triage. Now, if I wasn't there, I wouldn't be talking to you now.
It's very difficult for anybody in that situation, and I wanted Malachy and the other John to respond to you, but unfortunately I have to go into news because I've gone way over time tonight. But if you were all willing to wait, or Jane will give you a call back or whatever after the news, that's probably the best thing. Jane gives you a quick call back, the three of you. I'd happily have you all back on again after the news, and anybody else, by the way, wants to get involved in the conversation. And Malachy, you're still there, yeah?
I'm still here now.
Yeah, I wanted you to address the situation John is talking about, and I know the other John, I'm conscious he's there too, but John is in constant pain, in chronic pain, and I'm not going to go into his own difficulties and how he ended up in that situation. That's up to him to declare that on the air if he wants to talk about that privately himself or whatever he wants to do. But the point is, it's not going to get better. So he sees himself in the future in a situation where this may be necessary. I'm not saying that that's a route he might want to choose, but that would be entirely his choice, indeed, if there was legislation. Are you telling me that you wouldn't allow him to do that?
Well,
or make that choice?
I'll just make 2 points before we come to that. I thought Donald Trump there was talking about Ireland for a minute.
Okay.
And I would encourage people to watch tonight's prime time, although nobody to advocate watching RTE.
Okay, I wouldn't encourage them to watch tonight's prime time. We're going to be talking to Michael Walsh in a few minutes, who's a former advisor to Donald Trump. Anyway, getting back to what I was talking about.
Hold on, just
Malachy, please just stick to the point. Please stick to the point. It's just a bit insensitive now at this stage. So stick to the point. Getting back to what we're talking to John just before the
break. You see, and this is what happens all of the time in these arguments. It's the same with abortion, but given the hard case,
Hang on. There are many Johns in the, and with respect, John.
Yeah.
There are many Johns in this world.
And if John, with all due respect to John, if John wants to do something, you know, to end his own life, well, we have a huge amount of suicides already in this country.
Well, yeah, but that's not what we want to see. That's not the way people envisage.
No.
He's just explained to you why that's not a possibility or may not be a possibility.
If John wants to deal with that, that's a matter for John. But what you see, you can't deal with these in the hard cases because we're looking at what's good for society. And unfortunately, if you're looking at something that's good for society, it may leave the hard cases to be hard cases. And it may leave John in the predicament that he's in. But we have to look at the overall benefit. And that's not to be any way dismissive of John's situation. You know, but we know from all of the previous arguments, and we argued this, you know, during, again, we have to go back to the abortion referendum. I said during the abortion referendum, once this gets through, the next step is euthanasia. The next step is removing people at the other end of the spectrum, at the older end of the spectrum.
Let me go to the other John, if I can. Sorry, hang on, please. Let me go to the other John. John, in relation to, we'll call him John 2 for the purpose of the conversation tonight. You know, Malachy does have a point. During the previous referendum, to use the analogy of abortion, as they called them, the red herring cases. In other words, the extreme cases. And I'm not suggesting John is any extreme case, but certainly it wouldn't be atypical. So, you know, that you can't make legislation, you know, based on something like that. That legislation has to be a blunt instrument and for the betterment of society. Sorry, John 1, I'm putting that to you, sorry.
3.
Unfortunately, I've lost you there, lads, for a second. Unfortunately, I just lost it. I do apologise. I'll get you back, John, actually. If you can get the two Johns back again, that'd be great, Jane. I do apologise. I am, in a few minutes' time, by the way, I am going to talk about Donald Trump, and I do want to speak to Michael Walsh, because in case you didn't know, you might have heard it in the news, Donald Trump has pleaded not guilty to criminal charges, alleging he retained classified documents after he left the White House. His argument, of course, is they were declassified under the Presidential Act. And the former president pleaded not guilty to 37 counts, including obstructing the government's efforts to get them back. It's alleged that the US government's secrets were stored in a shower, bathroom, ballroom and bedroom of the Mar-a-Lago estate. Supporters of the former president have been protesting the indictment outside the Miami court. And the police chief says the force is ready for thousands more to gather. Now, in saying that, I don't think they'll be gathering now because he's gone, from what I believe. Obviously, the judge accepted that he was an innocent man until proven guilty. And they have asked for a speedy trial. There was some suggestion that he was arrested, but that he could have been put in jail. But, of course, his legal team would argue that he's not a flight risk. He certainly isn't. The judge also asked or suggested that he should not talk about it, but because he's a presidential candidate, of course, he can't have a gagging order on him. So he has to be allowed to talk about it. Anyway, sorry, getting back to the first John, if I can, just very quickly. Sorry, John.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry about that, Matt.
Yeah, that was entirely my fault. Yeah.
I was listening to John's story, and I'm very much pro-choice. However, I think an important part of this discussion is to hear, I suppose, the experience of people like John. However, I think the debate that has been started, the discussion has been started, is very specific about people that are on death's door, basically. And I personally would have a difficulty in advocating for people that are finding life difficult. And that's not just physical health, but we'll say and or our mental well-being as well. I've received palliative care services myself, and they're second to none in this country. There's a lot of help out there, whether it be for pain, whether it be for our mental well-being as well. So I have a difficulty in advocating, you know, any open-ended laws.
Well, palliative care is, in a lot of cases, palliative care is assisted dying in a lot of cases.
Well, palliative care in my case was for pain control.
No, I understand that. But we all know of situations where, you know, members of our family or probably the elders may have been in very serious difficulties or pain, where morphine, of course, was used, or mechanical methods of morphine. And we all know that the side effect of that particular morphine is to basically close down all the organs. Eventually, the organs will all stop. So that is essentially a form of palliative care, but it's also assisted dying to some degree.
To some degree. I've had this discussion with palliative care consultants, and my understanding was that to some extent like that it was. But I'm led to believe that it doesn't actually speed up the process. It makes the person comfortable,
Well, it does. It's an overdose. It's an overdose to kill the pain. There's a balance to be gained. And by the way, there's nothing unethical about it. You know, you want to relieve the pain, but to relieve the pain, sometimes you have
exactly
to overdose.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
That's exactly the point. And that's what we're talking about as part of this national debate, is exactly that point. Is people that have made this decision whilst in the whole of their health, but possibly if it were approved on an individual basis for somebody, could avail of it at the absolute latter stages of life. Just it's to avoid unnecessary suffering and pain, and not just for the patient themselves, who I guess in a lot of cases would be, as you say, on morphine and wouldn't be aware, fully aware, shall we say, of their surroundings, although I believe that hearing is the last thing to go.
Mm-hmm.
But also their loved ones who have to watch someone suffer. And for anybody in that stage of life, and I've watched people die, and knowing it was going to happen, and knowing in the last few days, I often wondered to myself, did it need to be like that? Could it be more peaceful? Absolutely, it could be, and that's what we're talking about. I think we have to really be careful how we discuss.
Okay,
this.
Going back to the second John there, John, do you accept that we have to be careful how we discuss it? Obviously, you know, there are going to be cases similar to your own where somebody's in chronic pain, but you know that may not be in itself an excuse to legislate.
There's a yes and a no answer to that. One is yes, all boxes need to be checked. If someone is to be either assisted or given the go-ahead. You know, I'm a para for over 30 years. I've used my hands. I can pick up the container myself. I prefer to take two tablets and lights out rather than a cocktail that, as I said, may end up being a success, which is brilliant, or the possibility of a locked-in syndrome, which, as I said, is far worse. I think at the end of the day, this is all based on quality of life. And you have individuals that are not affected by someone dealing with palliative care.
Mm-hmm.
You have someone that, it's, I suppose, to give an analogy, for years, I'm used to able-bodied individuals dictating what's best for me as a paraplegic, where I have my faculties, I have the experience, I know what's best for me, and it's not if, it's a win. The time will come where I will go, enough's enough. I want to go with dignity, and I don't want to be warehoused. It's a matter of, yeah, there's a massive difference between living and existing. And as a para, like being a para, that's nothing on me. It's water off a duck's back. It's what goes with it, where neuropathic pain, nociceptive pain, and it's every millimetre of skin, muscle, bone that's affected. So there's no escape. You know, it's just one of those things that where an individual with their faculties that decide enough's enough. You know, there's only so much an individual.
I can't see. And people listening tonight who are not as unfortunate as you in that situation will have no understanding of what your life is like. And you talk about, and I think when you say existing and not living, it kind of, you know, lets people know, understand, or have a better understanding of what you're talking about. But, and I can't imagine what it's like to live like that. You know, and it'd be different. I know this sounds silly, but maybe I'm wrong in saying this. If you were born into that situation, but when you lived your life to some degree, you know, normally, and did all the things that you normally do as a man, and then suddenly lost the ability to do all those things, then it's a lot different.
Well, the thing is, paraplegia isn't the issue. You know, it's the chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So it's a matter of separation between those things.
Yeah.
If I was able-bodied and dealing with the same thing through degeneration of the spine, it's still it's still, your end goal is the same when you're dealing with something like I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
And as I said, you don't have any escape from it. The isolation that pain causes, not just to me, to any other individuals. You have friends that fall by the wayside because, you know, they might not want to call because they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. It's a matter of social interaction is limited. If there's an event on, you're going, okay, how much tablets do I have to take if I have to stay there? You're limited. So again, quality of life. That's what life is about, quality. So, you know, I can look, Maliki is one that, for me, in one word, logic. But in this case, omit a religion, and you have to take each individual case on its merits.
But the one thing I will agree with Maliki on is you can't legislate for each individual case, unfortunately.
But we do
legislate based on listening to people and listening to the experience of people like you. And sorry, I have to wrap it up. So just back to the first John again, just for a final word. Sorry, John, go ahead.
Yeah, I think John's experience is a hugely important part of this discussion. Listening to him there, he's eloquent. And we need to understand, regardless of what stage of this debate or what our beliefs are, anti, somewhere in the middle, whatever, we need informed decisions. And it's only by listening to people like John to help the rest of us understand, even like myself, who would be pro-choice, Maliki, who obviously is a...
pro-life.
He has his own opinion, pro-life. He is a differing opinion as well. But John's... people like John, and it's not... I don't mean people like John, but people with the life experience that John is having as well. We need to hear that. The nation needs to hear people like John talking. And then let's move this forward together. That's the only way. It's you know, regardless of what side of the fence you're on, we can only move forward together on this one.
Okay, listen, guys, thank you very much indeed, John 1 and John 2. Thank you. And John, take care of yourself, all right, John 2. I'm sure we'll talk to each other by email again.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, bye. All right, okay, loads and loads of people texting in relation to that. Overall, I'm not going to go and count every single one of them, but I got a lot of WhatsApps when I asked you to vote at the start. And judging by a glance... it's more or less 50-50. Similar to when we had the abortion debates going back 6-7 years ago. It's more or less around 50-50 of people who said they would vote yes or no. And I think it's important at the moment, we don't really know what the legislation would be. They're just having, I suppose the Oireachtas are just having a debate or a conversation about it, of where we could go with legislation if we were to go with legislation. So there's no need to panic yet or get all uptight and head up about it, because it's not going to happen today or tomorrow. They will be 9 months, Michael Healy-Ray, of course, is heading up the committee, and it'll be 9 months at least before any legislation is proposed in relation to this. People have mentioned the Gino Kenny bill. Now, that's nothing to do with this.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.